Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 2, Text 27. We finished text 27, we're at text 28. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tato Vishesham Pratipadya Nirbhayas Tenatmanapo Nalamurtyar Avaram Jyotir Mayo Vayam Upetya Kale Vaivatmana Kam Vihar Atmalingam. After reaching Satyaloka, the devotee is specifically able to be incorporated fearlessly by the subtle body in an identity similar to that of the gross body. And one after another, he gradually attains stages of existence from earthly to watery, fiery, glowing, and airy, until he reaches the ethereal stage. Purport. Anyone who can reach Brahmalok or Satyalok by dint of spiritual perfection and practice is qualified to attain three different types of perfection. One who has attained a specific planet by dint of pious activities attains places in terms of his comparative pious activities. One who has attained the place by dint of Virat or Hiranyagarbha worship is liberated along with the liberation of Brahma. But one who attains the place by dint of devotional service is specifically mentioned here in relation to how he can penetrate into different coverings of the universe and thus ultimately disclose his spiritual identity in the absolute atmosphere of supreme existence. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, all the universes are clustered together up and down, and each and every one of them is separately sevenfold covered. The watery portion is beyond the sevenfold coverings, and each covering is 10 times more expansive than the previous covering. The personality of God who creates all such universes by his breathing period lies above the cluster of the universes. The water of the causal ocean is differently situated than the covering water of the universe. The water that serves as covering for the universe is material, whereas the water of the causal ocean is spiritual. As such, the watery covering mentioned herein is considered to be the false egoistic covering of all living entities. And the gradual process of liberation from material coverings, one after another, is mentioned herein, is the gradual process of being liberated from false egoistic conceptions of the material gross body, and then being absorbed in identification of the subtle body till the attainment of the pure spiritual body in the absolute realm of the kingdom of God. Srila Sridhar Swami confirms that a part of the material nature, after being initiated by the Lord, is known as the Mahatattva. A fractional portion of the Mahatattva is called the false ego. A portion of the ego is the vibration of a sound, and a portion of the sound is atmospheric air. A portion of the airy atmosphere is turned into forms, and the forms constitute the power of electricity or heat. Heat produces the smell of the aroma of the earth, and the gross earth is produced by such aromas. And all these combined together constitute the cosmic phenomena. The extent of the cosmic phenomena is calculated to be diametrically both ways 4 billion miles. Then the coverings of the universe. The first stratum of the covering is calculated to extend 80 million miles. And the subsequent coverings of the universe are respectively of fire, effulgence, air, and ether, one after another, each extending 10 times further than the previous. The fearless devotee of the Lord penetrates each of them and ultimately reaches the absolute atmosphere where everything is of one and the same spiritual identity. Then the devotee enters one of the Vaikuntha planets where he assumes exactly the same form as the Lord and engages in the loving transcendental service of the Lord. That is the highest perfection of devotional life. Beyond this, there is nothing to be desired achieved by the perfect yogi. Om Gyanatimanandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Mulutam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Vanshakalpa Tarubhyasya Kripa Sindhu Vaivacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Vedadhar Sivasade Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So after reaching Satyaloka, as the previous verse described, Satyaloka, which is the destination of the one who is engaged in contemplative meditation. That's his goal. Of course, we are not adepts at this practice, so we probably don't have much realization in terms of the mechanics, but it was described that very strictly controlling the life airs, then one can direct the intelligence. And then by some mechanical means, he could leave the body in a particular way. And then he can mechanically ascend, I guess, within the subtle body through the different, planets of the universe. The goal is Satyaloka. And then from there, at the end of Brahma's day, the partial devastation, then he has a chance to achieve liberation. So it was described, it's basically Prabhupada said, a mechanical process to attain spiritual perfection. And we saw the path, how each stage in the path was accompanied by a purification of one's material desires. And then we saw also, this was also interesting, that we saw, it's just basically the system of any yoga, even bhakti yoga. What we do is that the intelligence has to be fixed, the proper aim has to be there. And also the intelligence has to be purified, which means that purified, Prabhupada said, means free from sense gratification. And the purification of the intelligence comes by focusing on the Supersoul and meditating. And according to one's purification, then he can elevate himself in terms of his practices of meditation. So we saw this process here. And then he's reached Satyaloka. And we saw the consciousness of one in Satyaloka. There's no Satyaloka, no shoka, no jara, no mrityu. No arti pain, no udvega, no anxieties, rite, save and accept. That there's, when you feel that sense of satisfaction and then you realize that you can really realize how others are suffering. I always give the example, like you look at your parents if you ever see them or visit them. And if you feel some relief by Krishna consciousness, then you can have more compassion for the condition that they're in. So when they reach that state and they're feeling so peaceful and so blissful and so happy and they have no suffering, we tell you, save and accept. We read that. Save and accept the compassion, kripya, out of heartfelt sympathy of those who are ignorant of the process of self-realization. Those who are ignorant of self-realization. the top, thereafter. And after reaching Satyaloka, in this state of peaceful consciousness, he's able to incorporate or purify the subtle body and attain, it says here, Atmalingam, the real form of the self. He's able to, and later on it'll be described here that it says it's the gradual process of being liberated from the false egoistic conception of material gross body, then being absorbed in the identification of the subtle body until the attainment of the pure spiritual body in the absolute realm. So it's something like you from free from the gross body, then the subtle body, and then you realize the pure form, Atmalingam, as it says, the pure form of the self. And the pure form of the self is that we're devotees. As Prabhupada said, the perfected stage of the living entity is called the devotee. Somehow it's a basically a mechanical process. And Sridhar Swami gives a very interesting comment here that, because what's happening is everything's being amalgamated into the Mahatattva. And we saw this process with Maharaj Yudhisthira when he went to the north. It said everything that wasn't connected with the self, which is a servant of Krishna, was amalgamated into the Mahatattva. Everything that wasn't connected with the self is amalgamated into the Mahatattva. We saw this. So the Mahatattva is where the matter initially comes from. And then from the Mahatattva, the material world expands. So Sridhar Swami explains this here in a very interesting way. He confirms that a part of material nature after being initiated by the Lord is known as Mahatattva. A fractional portion of the Mahatattva is called the false ego. A portion of the ego is the vibration of the sound. A portion of the sound is atmospheric air. A portion of the airy atmosphere is turned into forms. Forms constitute the power of electricity and heat. Heat produces the smell of the aroma of the earth, and the growth is produced, and it goes on, and it expands. So the process, the mechanical process of liberation, is reversing the process. And ultimately, we'll see in the next verse, I believe, the next verse, or the verses coming up, that let me see if I can, what Prabhupada wrote here, it's interesting, everything is merged. The process of purifying the senses in a yogic way. The subtle senses emerge in the mode of passion, the mind into the mode of goodness. There's something else here. But it ultimately comes that the false ego has to be merged in the Mahatattva. You have to get that false, that's the most subtle material element, the false ego. Somehow of that conception. Everything in the material world begins from that conception of ahankara. I am the doer. I am independent. I am the doer. Rather than Krishna is the doer. Krishna is karta. Krishna is the doer. And I am a instrument for his actions. So that independent sense of doership. Because, why the independent sense of doership? Because when you want to be the control, when you want to be the enjoyer and controller, when you want to enjoy, then you want to also move your environment for your own personal comfort. But when you're the servant of Krishna, you give up that sense. It's up to your master to move the environment. So you give up the sense of control. That's why it's so hard to be someone's personal servant. Because you have to live in an environment that's controlled by another person. He's saying, what is the temperature? You know, what is the atmosphere? What is your time? It's so hard to be a personal servant for that particular reason. Because we have that ahankar, that ego, and we want to enjoy, and therefore, because we want to enjoy, we're attached to a particular environment. We want the control over that environment. And that's why it's so difficult when two people get married. because all of a sudden the two people are sharing the same environment. And then there's fight over the environment because they have different modes. And one person, you know, one person likes classical music and one person likes rock. One person likes the TV up. One person likes it off. You know, one person likes to go out socially and one person likes to have no one around. So the person who likes no one around is very upset when the people come over socially. And the person who likes it socially is very upset because the husband doesn't want anybody around. And they fight then over the environment, how the environment should be created, and how they fight over that environment. So it all begins from this egoistic conception of ahankara. So that's somehow or other, well, I can't exactly how it happens, it's so subtle, but he describes Jiva Goswami as such the watery covering mentioned is considered to be the false egoistic covering. And the gradual process of liberation from the material covering, one after another is mentioned, is the gradual process of being liberated from false egoistic conceptions in the material body. Being liberated from that. But somehow or other, it goes along this mechanical process, and you can see, go through one layer of the universe, which is 10 times more. And I guess it gets to the subtle layer, which is the false ego, which is the biggest. You have to give that up. I don't know the complete story. What was the conclusion?
No. Everyone is fair. Draupadi and all the four brothers.
Yeah.
And after that, there's a dog following them.
Yeah.
The dog was actually in the Yudhisthira.
But what was the result? Did Maharaj Yudhisthira go back to Godhead?
He was not yet reaching that point, that stage yet.
Yeah.
But then he was asked to give up the company of the dog. And they said, no, that I can't.
I'm just saying, then what happened? Did that prevent him from going further?
No, he desire appeared in his own form in Job. I was trying your sense of propriety, and I have said, I can't.
See, the interesting thing is that Yudhisthira's illusion, his specific problem that he had, that Narada Muni had to come to purify, was that he was thinking that I am the maintainer and I am the protector. That was his specific illusion that he had. Let me explain. That was the specific illusion that he had, that I am the maintainer and protector. And that's when Narada Muni came, and there's those beautiful instructions explaining that you're not the controller, that Krishna is the maintainer. Because that's why he was upset when Dhritarashtra left, because Dhritarashtra's illusion was that there's something, you know, that Yudhisthira was the, you know, maintainer and protector, and I'm dependent on them rather than Krishna. So, unless I know some inner thing, it seemed like some kind of test on that last snare of Maya.
No,
I think also it's a test of integrity. Because he refused to go back unless there was a dependent also on the person. He refused to.
So then that wasn't for, it was his duty. He felt it was his duty. That somehow or other, he gave up everything and he left, but somehow or other, he gave up everything, and at the very end, by the arrangement of Indra, he was... It was Yamaraj. The arrangement was then that by that Yamaraj's testing, that because he's also Yudhisthira's Dharmaraj, so he knows religion. So even though he gave up all responsibilities and attachment of home, somehow or other at the end that Krishna made some arrangement that there's someone that took shelter of him.
Last five days.
So he took it, but without the false egoistic conception. Now he was purified. Okay, I think.
But, a delicate point, please. I can't decide what to do. What's your mind?
So you can see the test, it's so intricate. Wow. After reaching Satyaloka, so then this amalgamation takes place. That's all we can understand here. And we'll just read more how that works. Ganena Gandam Rasanena Virasam Rupam Jyotistya Shvasanam Tvacheva Shrotrena Chopetya Nabogunatvam Panena chakutim upaiti yogi. The devotee thus surpasses the subtle objects of different senses, like aroma by smelling, the palate by tasting, vision by seeing forms, touch by contacting, the vibrations of the ear by ethereal identification, and the sense organs by material activities. Beyond the sky, there are subtle coverings. Anyway, I'll just read them. Beyond the sky, there are subtle coverings resembling the elementary coverings of the universe. The gross coverings are a development of the partial ingredients of the subtle causes. So the yogi or devotee, along with liquidation of the gross elements, relinquishes the subtle cause like aroma by smelling. The pure spiritual spark, the living entity, thus becomes completely cleansed of all material contamination to become eligible for entrance into the kingdom of God. So then it goes further. He keeps on surpassing further and further stages, more and more subtle.
Sabuddha-shaksmendriya-sannikarsham Mano-mayam devamayam vikayam Shamsadya-gatya-sahatena-yati Vijnana-tattvam-guna-sannirodham.
The devotee, thus surpassing the gross and subtle forms of coverings, enters the plane of egoism. So, this is it. This is the final point. He's entered the plane of egoism. So he surpassed all the other things. And in that plane, says, in that status, he merges the material modes of nature, ignorance and passion, and this point of neutralization thus reaches egoism and goodness. After this, because he has to surpass, Prabhupada said, egoism and goodness also. So it describes at that point, and that's what Prabhupada describes in the purport, that the gross senses are then merged in the mode of ignorance. So I guess the previous verse was the sense objects. Now this is the senses itself will be merged. So the gross senses are merged in the mode of ignorance, and the subtle senses are merged in the mode of passion, and the mind or the mode of the mind belongs to the mode of goodness. So the material mind seems to be amalgamated also. The last thing, the material mind, and the perfect purification of mind is made when one's fixed the conviction of being the eternal servitor of the Lord. So it says one has to surpass the stage of material goodness and reach the point of pure goodness of Vishuddha Sattva. The Vishuddha Sattva, Vasudev Sattva. What is that verse? Vishuddha Sattvam Vasudeva Shabdita. That state where you can actually have Vishuddha Sattva. Sattva doesn't mean goodness, but it means that the consciousness is of truth. It's pure. It's completely fixed on one's service to Krishna. Completely fixed. That's pure goodness. And that's the state, Vasudeva Shabditam, where as Krishna's father was able to have Krishna in his consciousness, because Krishna appeared in his mind, then the living entity at that state is able to have Krishna within his mind, purely. And he understands perfectly his eternal relationship to Krishna. That's actually the stage of bhava, that Krishna's Vishuddha Sattva potency, his internal potency, descends to energize the consciousness in a way that he's completely cognizant and aware of his eternal relationship with Krishna. And after this, after all egoism is merged in the Mahatattva, that's the verse, he comes to the point of pure self-realization. So all egoism is merged in the Mahatattva. Now, Prabhupada in the purport describes this very nicely. He describes that pure self-realization, as we several times discussed, is the pure consciousness that is admitting oneself to be the eternal servitor of the Lord. Thus one is reinstated in his original position of transcendental loving service to the Lord, as will be clearly explained in the following verses. This stage of rendering transcendental loving service to the Lord without any hopes of emolument from the Lord or any other way can be attained when the material senses are purified and the original pure state of the senses is revived. So this state where there's nothing else but Krishna, and that's prema bhakti. Prema bhakti means there's nothing else in the consciousness but the thought that I am Krishna's servant and I want to give him pleasure. Nothing else is in the consciousness. So this can only be attained when the material senses are purified. And the process was described here by the yogic way. The gross senses emerge. There's a yogic way of doing that. This is not exactly our process. This is a yogic way. And Prabhupada describes that this is authoritative. That this gradual emancipation of the devotee in the manner mentioned above, although authoritative, is not viable in the present age because of people's being primarily unaware of the yogic process. The Prabhupada said 5,000 years ago, when the social status of human society was in perfect order, the yogic process mentioned herein was a common affair for everyone. Because everyone, especially the Brahmin and Kshatriya, was trained in the transcendental art under the care of the spiritual master far away from home in the status of Brahmacharya. Modern man, however, is incompetent to understand it perfectly. So years ago, this process was followed. People were competent to do this amalgamation process and purify the consciousness, focus their intelligence internally within the body, locate the different chakras in the body, control the life airs, leave the body through the Brahma Rantra and go through the different planetary systems, finally reaching Satyaloka. Then at Satyaloka, then start the process of amalgamating the senses and the sense objects into the various modes, and finally egoism into the Mahatattva, and then, you have a state of love of Godhead. The other thing that's interesting in the previous verses that we didn't mention, we're reaching Satyaloka, how the devotee is able to do this, it's very interesting that the yogi doesn't have to be a bhakti yogi. This yogic process doesn't have to be with the objective, akunta dristi, the objective of going back to Godhead. This can be done with other objectives because it's mechanical. So what makes it bhakti yoga is the objective that one has. And that's really, even in terms of our own chanting, what really makes it bhakti is the objective that we have within the chanting. You were talking about the Hari Bhakti Vilas and Japa, and I just read this morning one verse from it. That, you should chant with a mood of affection for the Lord. There's one verse in the Hari Bhakti Vilas. There should be a mood of love in your chanting. And then you get the result. So there's an objective here. And it's very interesting here, too, that pious activities, then you'll, of course, only attain places compatible to your pious activities. You meditate on the Virat Rup, then you're liberated along with Brahma, and then one who attains the place of devotional service. This is mentioned here. He penetrates and his spiritual identity is disclosed. So this objective is very important. Now what Prabhupada explains, because he said that this process was done 5,000 years ago and people were accustomed to it, then he describes that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made it much easier in the specific manner. The Prabhupada's making it relevant to us. And how the process works for us is that When the sincere soul meets the bona fide spiritual master, he gets the seed of bhakti yoga. He gets the seed of bhakti yoga. Lord Chaitanya recommends that devotees sow the seed of bhakti yoga in his heart and nurture it by the watering of hearing and chanting the holy name, fame, etc. of the Lord. The simple process of offenselessly chanting and hearing the holy name will gradually promote one to the stage of emancipation. Then Prabhupada talks about the different stages of chanting, and specifically you have to, and in the offenseless stage, then you can enter the kingdom of God, although physically the person is in the material world. So Prabhupada describes this process also by, in other words, what Prabhupada does is describe the process of chanting and hearing, doing the same thing as the yogic process. When I was going to college in 1971, the devotees from New York came to my college and they sat in the student union. And I remember the different devotees were there, some of them. I remember a few of the devotees that day. I remember that lady Varanasi was there, and she was singing. And I remember the tune they were singing, too. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare. That devotee Bhakta Jana was there, I remember that. Bhakta Bob, Hari Kesh was there, with his sunglasses. And Baba Ananda. And he was sitting there with a picture of Krishna right in the student lobby. And you know, when he was, in those days when he was more empowered, he was sitting up straight and like, you know, lording over everyone simultaneously. He had that kind of, and then after that, he walked to the student union, a lecture hall, and the lecture hall was just packed. And he gave a lecture and he described how the Bhakti Lata Beej goes to the spiritual world. And I remember his pinky kind of going up like a vine, you know? You know, it went like up like a vine to the spiritual world. And it was describing what's being described here, how, you know, it fructifies at the lotus feet of Krishna with love of Godhead. And I remember it was so powerful. I remember one boy and his girlfriend sitting in front of me. And, you know, I think I'm saying to, you know, he just became overwhelmed. And like, you know, so excited about it. And his girlfriend was trying to say something and he was like, no, this is it, you know? So when we speak of hearing and chanting, it means that not only should one chant and hear the holy name of the Lord as Rama, Krishna, or systematically the 16 names, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. But one should also read and hear the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam in the association of devotees. The primary practice of bhakti yoga will cause the seed already sowed in the heart to sprout, and by a regular watering process, as mentioned above, the bhakti yoga creeper will begin to grow. It was one of those lecture halls where the person's down and the seats go up. And it was very powerful. It was so attractive. You can imagine all those powerful devotees. And they were all actually very attractive personalities. And it was a very dynamic group. It was very impressive. By systematic nurturing, the creeper will grow to such an extent that it will penetrate the coverings of the universe, as we have heard in the previous verses, reach the effulgent sky, the Brahmajyoti, and go farther and farther and reach the spiritual sky, where there are innumerable spiritual planets called by Kuntalokas. Above all of them is Krishnaloka or Goloka Vrindavan, wherein the growing creeper enters and takes repose at the lotus feet of Krishna, the original personality of Godhead. When one reaches the lotus feet of Krishna at Goloka Vrindavan, the watering process of hearing and reading. Yeah, this is also nice that Prabhupada says. He just doesn't say hearing and chanting. He says hearing and reading. I mean, you should hear. He means chanting the holy name and hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. When one reaches, by the process, chanting the holy name, chanting of the holy name in the pure devotional stage fructifies, and the fruit grow fruits grown there in the form of love of Godhead are tangibly tasted by the devotee, even though he was here in this material world. The ripe fruits of love of God are relished only by the devotees constantly engaged in the watering process as described above. But the working devotee must always be mindful so that the creeper which is so grown will not be cut off. Therefore, he should be mindful of the following considerations. One, offense by one at the feet of the pure devotee may be likened to the mad elephant who devastates a very good garden if he enters. One must be very careful to guard himself against such offenses at the feet of pure devotees, just as one protects a creeper by all-around fencing. It so happens that by the watering process, some weeds are also grown, and unless such weeds are uprooted, the nurturing of the main creeper or the creeper bhakti yoga will be hampered. And then Prabhupada mentions different things we have to avoid. And by doing so, the devotee is able to relish the fruit of love of Godhead and thus live practically with Lord Krishna, even in this life, and be able to see the Lord in every step. Any questions so far? Yes. Of course, it's analogous to describe something. I'm not sure if it's exactly a vine that's growing in it, but it says fructifies, and the fruits grown there in the form of love. The fruits that fructify at Krishna's lotus feet is love of Godhead. In other words, what fructifies is prema, love of Godhead. So the nature of love of Godhead is that love of Godhead is relished by Krishna. That's what Krishna enjoys. But we enjoy it the same, love of Godhead, but from the position of subject. Krishna enjoys it from the position of object. Give the example. If a mother loves the child and she develops love for her child, the child is relishing the love of the mother. And the love of a mother is called anugraha. It's kindness. That's the mother's mood of love. So the child is relishing the mother's kindness, this vatsalya ras. So the child's relishing it, but the mother is also relishing it. But from the standpoint of the subject of that love, or the devotee, rather than the object. So the child and the mother are relishing the same things, but from different perspectives. So when we offer our love to Krishna, Krishna is enjoying that love, but we're enjoying the same love. And this is the reason why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, why Krishna came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because he wanted to taste the love from the position of the subject rather than the object, to get the full experience of that love. So it's the nature of prema, that even though the devotee has no desire for personal enjoyment and does things for Krishna, when that love grows in his heart, then he's relishing it also. And that's why it's described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that it's completely selfless. And that resolves the contradiction. How the devotee can have so much pleasure and be selfless. It's all for Krishna, but it's still, he's relishing it. The mother will sacrifice anything from the child, but she's, and it's not selfish, because she has no desire for personal enjoyment, the mother. She just wants her child happy. But automatically she's relishing. So that's prema. Yes. Baba, even if we say it's Baba, even if we say it's Baba, Baba is also prema. But it's prema. It's just like if you have a sprout, it's also the same thing, it's just in its beginning stage. So even if you say it's Baba that one is experiencing, then he's experiencing love of Godhead. Baba is also love of Godhead. It's also our eternal relationship with Krishna is manifesting as Baba. So Baba is the same thing as prema. Just that prema is mature. So whether, you know, it's a I think the essence of what Prabhupada's point is that we're relishing this love of Godhead. Exactly what the stage is, if you ask him, well, is this prema or bhava, he may say one or the other. Generally, it's the fully mature bhava, the prema, is hard to experience in the material world. We understand from the 10th canto and the those gopis that have come from the material world. They, when you perfect yourself, you go to the planet where Krishna has his pastimes. But you don't have fully perfect love yet. And that love has to mature in the association of the Nityasiddha Parikas, or the eternal associates of Krishna. What's that? The ray. So the ray of the sun means that the ray is heat and light, but lacks. And the sun is heat and light, but dense. And that's the difference between prema and bhava. Laxity and density. Same thing. It's dense, thick. But if we got just a drop of bhava in this life, I will be satisfied. If I can get that bhava, I will be satisfied.
No, then you say that. No, no, I must have that.
But then when you get that, you'll want more. But that's a trick.
Get your cake. You ask for another. No, I'll take it home.
Another. Very nice.
With this material body, we can experience the initial stages of prema, but not the early stages.
The initial stages of prema. Like, initial stages means, the first stage is prema itself, then sneha, rag. Where does it say that? There's some references though that it's very difficult. It's not so easy. You know, that stage. Yeah.
What kind of feeling did the devas in Pratyaloka, what kind of feeling in relation to Krishna they have? I mean, they feel devotion or something?
There's devotion, there's appreciation. We discussed before, it could be Shantaras. Shantaras means appreciation for Krishna. You're a fan of Krishna. It's like you're a fan of, like they say, a rock star. You don't want it, you don't do any service for him. But you still are offering him your love, you know, by appreciating. There's some sense of appreciation there. I'm not sure this process, this mechanical process, will it lead to Goloka Vrindavan? Does not exactly seem like it's the, but see, it's hard to say because in previous ages there were different processes. Yeah, and people were, we described before that people were more inclined. People were more inclined for the more difficult processes. It's just like you see some devotees who are austere. They wouldn't like Krishna consciousness unless it was like hard on their body. You know? You know, and if it was a simpler process, you know, that did entail such like studies and austerities, you know, they wouldn't be attracted to it. So, you know, people in the previous ages when they had Prabhupada describing, the brahmacharis used to practice this.
Even when the Pandavas and the Krishna present, some of them went into retiring and when they
No, that was described that they just went to the north. And Dhritarashtra, but they were not, it's described in the Bhagavatam that Gandhari and Dhritarashtra, they were not Naratam. They were only Dhira. Naratam means that you leave and you take complete shelter of Krishna. So they weren't really in a devotional path. They were just taking, you know, becoming renounced. One more question?
In the first verse we were reading, in the very last of the prophet, given that the devotee and the form of the Vaikuntha journey to the form
of
Krishna,
It said Akunta Dristi, his aim is Vaikuntha. And getting the same form of the Lord. It's a type of dasyaras, shantaras, type of kind of appreciation. And it's interesting, Jiva Goswami mentions in the Sandarbhas that why does the devotee get the form of the Lord? And he describes that it's a particular type of service. It's just like, you can just think to yourself, if you like walk down the street someplace, right? Would you like to walk with like, you know, very strange looking people? Or even like devotees, let's say, that had dirty clothes and like, you know, different socks on and like, well, would you like to walk with very, very beautiful aristocratic people? So it's, Jiva Goswami mentions that this is a kind of service for Krishna, that you'd be part of his entourage. And your consciousness, what? Do they need, they have four arms, it's Vaikuntha? It's opulent, it's Aishwarya. It's Aishwarya. It's Aishwarya.